Hello, everybody. Welcome to Flurries on Films. This week, we're talking about When Harry Met Sally.
Hit the music!
Men and women can't be friends. Because no man can be friends with a woman that he finds attractive. He always wants to have sex with her.
So you're saying that a man can be friends with a woman he finds unattractive?
No, you pretty much want to nail him, too.
I'm Michael Flaherty.
And I'm Colleen Flaherty.
This week, we're talking about When Harry Met Sally. This is a podcast about films.
This is a podcast where we review the AFI, but now we're doing the new AFI, selected by the fans. And this one was very requested by Michelle Block, Sam Norman, Olivia Huang, and probably it probably would have been me, but yeah. I didn't because like everyone
did you recommend any films?
I don't know. Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see. Okay.
Michael, do you want to tell people what When Harry Met Sally is about?
Sure do.
If they haven't heard of it.
Harry and Sally have known each other for years and are very good friends, but they fear sex would ruin the relationship.
I think that's a weird summary, but like, what else is this movie about, I guess?
Isn't that exactly what it's about?
I don't feel like them fearing sex ruining their relationship is actually a big theme. Like, they bring it up.
That's the whole movie.
Maybe. Anyway, what'd you think of it, Michael?
I thought it was okay. I have seen a lot of Hallmark films and a lot of, I mean, we were just discussing, it can be hard to get two attractive people and for there to be chemistry. But I feel like these two people have chemistry and I feel like I am invested in their romantic relationship. And at the end, I thought it was very sweet.
I do actually like the romance a lot in that it wasn't like, they weren't like two soulmates who just kept missing each other. They were like people who weren't right for each other until they were in like a normal, realistic way.
Yeah.
Which I kind of like.
And I like just kind of, it's sort of mellow, you know, not a lot of action. I don't really like Billy Crystal that much. And that's I don't fair. Really care for its like big theme of
which
like,
is.
Can men and women be friends?
I wonder, is that really the point? We're working this through right now. Because
the Amazon description is like, can men and women be friends? Watch Harry Met Sally.
I thought in the end it was like, is that even does it even matter? But. Because it is, there are some kind of stupid heteronormative things that are maybe a bit dated,
mm-hmm.
but I just enjoy the writing in it so much. This is one of my favorite films for script writing.
We can talk more about that, but I think we've talked long enough. Did we go over your, did you just
oh,
say
Oh, I love it.
You love
this
it.
This is one of my favorite movies.
Here's what I love. Our first segment, bam.
Time for Sam. This is the part of the show where Sam comes on and gives some facts about this movie she loves so much.
I do love this film so much. So speaking of love, after 10 years of marriage, Rob Reiner and Penny Marshall divorced in 1981. In 1984, Reiner had a meal with writer Nora Ephron, and while eating, he chatted about being a divorcee and what it was like living as a single man. To quote Reiner, "I was in the middle of my single life. I'd been divorced for a while, I've been out a number of times, and all of those disastrous, confusing relationships, one after another." Ephron left the meeting inspired and started writing. Throughout the years, they continued to have conversations about how men and women deal with dating, single life, love, and sex differently. Ephron started a script. The character of Harry is loosely based on the stories of Rob, and the character of Sally has similar traits to Nora and her single friends.
Maybe that's what I didn't like. Even beyond the men and women can't be friends, the premise of it does seem kind of like men are like this and women are like this. And I feel like I kind of have to ignore that not when I watch it.
Yeah, sure.
But anyway, go on.
At times to get inspiration, Nora would take breaks from writing to interview people about their love stories. These stories were so fascinating. Rob included them in the film and he would have actors telling them. So those little segments in between are all real stories.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I thought those were the real people.
No, they are actors doing
it. Oh, that's too bad.
But they're real
love
stories.
That bit. Because this is really nerdy, but Junis and I always talked about how we wanted to have a love story that was couch worthy, like a story we could tell that's really sweet. But you have to do it with like a heavy Brooklyn accent too, because that's so cute.
I mean, I feel like aren't they all couch worthy? Which story is not couch worthy?
We met on Match.com and then 2 years later we got married.
It's pretty boring.
I mean, you're right. Like, not all those stories were so great. They were just kind of cute, and they just told it well.
Yeah, sure.
Nine extra.
Well, they were actors.
Are you really disappointed by that?
I am sad. I thought those were real people.
Not all of them.
Isn't that a tribute to how great they were?
That's a good point.
Not all of them are like super cute and loving. Like, you have the one where they got divorced, and then
he married like three people.
Then he married Marjorie, and then we met at the funeral, and I was there with another girl, Sarah. Yeah, Sarah. But I didn't leave with her.
I couldn't keep my eyes off her. And we've been married ever since.
Felt very authentic.
It did, right?
So it's just kind of fun stories. So one day, while discussing ideas over dinner, Reiner commented on how precisely Efron ordered her food. She responded, "I like it how I like it."
Put a pin in that. We will talk about it.
Reiner would insist that this trait be given to Sally. Years later, while ordering food in her very specific way on a flight, a stewardess said to Efron, "Have you ever seen the film When Harry Met Sally?"
I mean, she's like, "No, what's that? Piece of trash, it sounds like."
Billy Crystal was a very good friend of Reiner's. Their relationship, Billy Crystal's and Robert Reiner's, are kind of like Bruno Kirby and Billy Crystal.
Don't you think it's weird that Bruno Kirby and Billy Crystal were like the romantic male leads of a movie?
Who's Bruno Kirby?
He's the guy with the mustache and the glasses. His best friend
who ends up with Carrie Fisher.
We've seen him in another movie, but I forget which one.
Gotcha.
But I just imagine
Godfather or something. No.
Yeah, maybe. But anyway, just imagine a movie today being made with like guys who look like that,
right?
And Meg Ryan. Sorry to be rude about people's looks. I'm just saying, you know, bit of a double standard for men and women.
So Billy Crystal spent a lot of time with Reiner after his divorce, and this would actually become a great learning experience as he would be cast as Harry. To really get into the mindset of the depressed and pessimistic character, Crystal would separate himself from the other cast and crew while they filmed in Manhattan.
Do you think people called him Crystal? It's very funny to me.
The original title for the film was How They Met. Nora tried other titles such as Boy Meets Girl, and Harry, This Is Sally, but none fit. Finally, Reiner offered anyone on the film to come up with a title. The winner who picked When Harry Met Sally won a case of champagne.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I like that title? Do you like it?
It's actually my least favorite part of the title.
Nora Ephron had said if she could change anything, it would be the title. She still hates it.
It sounds a bit cutesy for what the movie is.
But it sounds similar to her other suggestions.
Yeah.
I think she didn't like those either, though.
Oh.
So let's talk briefly about the most famous scene in this film that takes place at Kath's deli. Originally, the scene was scripted to have the two having a discussion about women faking orgasms. However, Meg Ryan suggested she could just fake one. Reiner loved it and decided to try it out. Apparently, at the first attempt, all the women watching were laughing uncontrollably and the men were all silent.
I like the premise of that scene, but not the execution.
Reiner's mother.
I've been there. Mikey, you too, right?
We can talk about this, but we're facting right now.
Sorry.
Reiner's mother made an appearance in the film as a fellow diner. She delivers the infamous line, "I'll have what she's having." The line was actually Billy Crystal's idea.
Aw.
Nice.
If you visit Kat's Diner today, there is a sign over the table that says, "Where Harry Met Sally. Hope you have what she had."
Aw.
And Colleen used to live in New York. Okay. And took people there, and it was awesome.
Just pause the facts to just talk about Colleen.
Well, I was going to do a fact for myself. When I went, everyone else went to get food, and I went to the table to grab it, and I sat down. I was like, "Where's the sign?" And I didn't realize I was sitting at the table, and the sign was right above me.
That's cute.
Very cute.
Okay, so the famous line wasn't the only thing that Crystal improvised. He had fun throughout the film going off on his own bits. One of the most obvious ones is when Harry and Sally are in the museum and he starts talking about peppers. In the film, you can see Ryan laugh out of character and then look off at the director to see if she should continue responding. And it's one of my favorite scenes. My dad and I always will do that voice when we're talking about peppers.
That's very cute.
Crystal's also credited at improvising a lot of the proposal at the end, including the line, "When you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with someone, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible."
Props.
That's very cute.
So originally, Harry and Sally were not supposed to end up together. They were supposed to just part ways. Reiner and Efron didn't think it was realistic that they would work as a couple. However, the test audience wasn't happy, and they had to rewrite the ending to bring the couple together. The final scene where Harry and Sally's interview together was almost completely improvised.
I liked it. I wonder how I feel about that. I wonder if it would have been better if they hadn't ended up together.
It was during filming this film that Reiner would meet photographer Michelle Singer, and they would get married in 1989. It was falling in love while filming that helped Reiner come around to the idea of Harry and Sally working together. It was not expected that the film would be a hit. It was one of those where the studio's like, we'll put it out and not spend any money on advertisement. We'll let word of mouth kind of get it out. And also, it came out in the summer with other hits in the box office like Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade and Batman. So it was expected to be a flop. And it was an instant hit.
Damn, nice.
It would be nominated for one Academy Award, Best Original Screenplay, although it would be beat by Dead Poets Society. Although it was wrongly capped off of the AFI Top 100 list, When Harry Met Sally does come in number 6 for the AFI's list of 10 greatest films in the genre of romantic comedy.
Of course.
It also makes a couple other appearances. It comes in at number 23 on the 100 Laughs list, number 25 on the 100 Passions list. You have it coming in at number 60. For top songs with It Had to Be You. And of course, I'll Have What She's Having is on the quote list. So your final fact and the question of the week, where does the quote rank on the list?
Okay, I got my guess.
I got it. You go first.
43.
I put 10.
33.
Woo, I finally won one.
Nice job.
And that was...
Sam.
Time for Sam. This is our next segment where we hear from some discerning folk on what they thought of the movie. We call this Critics Corner. Why don't I take it away?
Oh, okay.
Reiner wants to maintain the sitcom sense of comfort and familiarity. He creates types that we somehow already know, slightly out of focus images in which we can see ourselves and our friends, says David Kerr of the Chicago Tribune.
Is that a positive review? I can't even tell.
I don't know. It sounds like he's like, it's nice.
You can kind of settle into the... I mean, it's true. I agree with that review. Here's from Carlos Sexron from from the Amazon. Billy Crystal makes my skin crawl. So it's probably that one's a negative review.
Efron's tart grown-up script examines the inevitability of love finding a way despite the fight put up by this famous pair of snappy New Yorkers, says Ian Nathan of the Empire magazine.
This one's from Leon from Amazon. Didn't like it. Smug, detached comedic performances. Flippant treatment of sex. Awful. Flippant treatment. I'm not sure what he means by that.
When Harry Met Sally remains the gold standard some 30 years later when it comes to the romantic comedy genre, says Danielle Saltzman, Saltzy at the movies.
Damn, nice. This is from Luann, great name, from Amazon. The movie was old and should have been free with my Amazon Prime membership.
One star.
Fair enough. It is from the 90s. And that was Critics Corner. And now we're going to go to favorite part, least favorite part. I kind of want to start with mine because I've already said it. The title, just like, they meet right away.
That's like, not really a pivotal part of the film.
It's not really important is when they meet. And it's like, oh, when he met her. It's like, what? They're both the main character. That's so stupid. And I say that's my least favorite part because the movie, I think, is pretty good.
Yeah. Overall. But I also, you don't like Billy Crystal.
That's I guess my least. I don't really like either of them. Like, I don't like how he's like a kind of know-it-all jerk and her only role is to kind of react to him.
But I like that because he was a know-it-all jerk in the beginning, because that's how like someone just graduating from college who's kind of obnoxious would be. But then he kind of gets over that, I think, as he ages.
I didn't really feel it as much.
It's funny because I remember the first time I watched this, I'm like, what a weird pairing, because Meg Ryan is so much more attractive. But
I see it.
Now I see it. Like, I see it more now that I'm older, and I also find Meg Ryan more obnoxious than I used to,
mm-hmm.
which leads to Miley's favorite part.
Yeah.
I think Meg Ryan's ordering of food is not cute. It's not quirky. It is obnoxious. Like, just order your food. Like,
what'd she do? I forget.
You know, like, every order had to be like, oh, do you have Bloody Mary mix? Sure, Bloody Mary. No, here's what I want. I want it filled up with tomato juice 3/4 of the way, and then just a little bit of Bloody Mary mix on the top, and then the lime on the side.
Dude, it was the 90s, man. If you're rich in New York, I mean, it just comes with the territory.
It's obnoxious, and I hate it.
You didn't do that when you were in New York?
Never.
Oh, well.
Because people make good food there, and I will just order it or not order it, right?
Sure.
Make your own food if you're going to be... Anyway. I also didn't really like the orgasm scene, because I love... Like, that's Billy Crystal at his worst as a character, where he's like, no woman has faked it with me. I'm amazing. And yeah. She's like, you're an idiot. And then she does the most fake pornographic orgasm ever, which doesn't prove her point in any way. And it's like, it doesn't seem really in keeping with her character that she would just be that loud and obnoxious in a public setting.
Yeah, that's true.
But I like the joke, the premise of it.
I actually, well, this scene and kind of the whole movie, I thought I would like it a lot less just because you guys talk it up all the time. Mm-hmm. But I kind of liked all of it. I thought that scene was funny. I laughed.
I will say, even though it wasn't really with her character, Meg Ryan's performance was pretty good. I loved at the end when she just totally turns it off. I'm like, hmm.
Yeah, Meg Ryan's a good actress.
She's great.
Yeah.
What's your favorite part?
I just think I like their relationship a lot. And probably the scene at the end when he proposes.
Aw. I just really like the dialogue. I also love how obnoxious his writer friend is. Like, he's just the worst person, and I'm here for it.
Do some quotes.
I love when Billy Crystal is talking to his friend about his divorce, and he goes in this whole story, which, again, great, great scene. Very well written. And, like, how every new element of him leaving, or her leaving him, is devastating, right? First, she's like, I don't know if I've ever loved you. Oh, actually, I've been planning to move out for a week. Oh, actually, there's someone else. And I didn't tell you because I didn't want to ruin your birthday. And Bruno Kirby says,
I don't bounce back from that right away.
Thanks, Jess.
No, I'm a writer. I know dialogue. And that's particularly harsh.
It's just like such a dickish thing to say. I love it so much.
And as a writer yourself, you get.
I do that bit a lot where I'm like, oh, and as a writer, I'm aware of that. So it's just so. Anyway. Oh, I have another fun fact, though. I don't know why. I was just really into researching stuff that didn't really have anything to do with the movie. The soundtrack is pretty good, mm-hmm. and it's mostly Harry Connick Jr. kind of doing classic hits.
Yeah.
I'm like, but Harry Connick Jr. was a stud in the early 2000s, and this was the late 80s. He did this soundtrack, featured on it, when he was 22 years old.
Dude.
And I was just like,
what an asshole, man.
Apparently, he was like a concert pianist at 9. He's amazing.
I want to be that successful and talented.
Well, too late.
Too late. Should we go to the intern's summary?
Let's do it.
Which is going to break down the plot of the film. All right, I'll start reading it. Sally Albright meets Harry Burns when the two of them drive from college at the University of Chicago to New York City to start their new lives. What an obvious setup for a romantic comedy that I've never seen before. You know what I mean?
Just being on a long car ride?
Yeah, to like get our characters to meet.
Who don't like each other near the end, which I also enjoy.
They spend the trip bickering like an old married couple. The main point of contention, Harry's belief that men and women can't be friends because sex will always get in the way. Sally begs to differ. After 18 hours in a yellow station wagon, they part ways in Greenwich Village.
See, this is where I kind of want to push back against you disliking Harry, because he's so obnoxious in a very specific way that young guys are, where she's just like trying to have normal conversation. She's like, I bet you never think about death. I think about death all the time. And I just love it, because what a douche, but a realistic kind of douche.
I think we're on the same page.
Okay. And I like when she talks about her days of the week underpants, and I Googled it, and apparently that's not a thing that they wouldn't make Sunday underpants.
Hmm.
That's it. For those who haven't seen it, she talks about how she had, they talk about the movie Casablanca, and she thinks it's crazy that she wouldn't go with Victor Laszlo because he wants to be stuck with a bartender. Women are very practical.
It's a thing about truth about women.
Right.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, you've just never had great sex. She's like, oh, I have with Sheldon, but he was so jealous. Because I had these days of the week underpants, and he'd always say, where's Sunday? Where's Sunday? Couldn't take it anymore. But where was Sunday? They don't make it because of God. And I'm so sad that's not true.
That was the whole scene.
Yeah, I just did it for you.
Anyway,
you can keep reading.
5 years later, Sally's boyfriend is seeing her off at the airport. They run into Harry, who's on Sally's flight. While traveling, Harry and Sally get to bickering about Harry's confirmed belief that men and women can't be friends, mainly before parting ways once again.
Yep. And he says, you never take someone to the airport, because then they say, why don't you take me to the airport anymore? Which is cute, but. And then he's getting married, and is that nice? Anyway, it's 5 years later, and Joe and Sally have broken up, and her girlfriends are weirdly insistent about her meeting someone immediately. And there's this line where she's like, you have to meet the man, you have to meet someone, because you might die soon. And she's like, are you serious? So I have to go get my husband before he dies? And she's like,
at least you could say you were married.
What a crazy thing to say.
Man.
At a Giants game, Harry tells his buddy Jess about his divorce, which we talked about earlier. was a great scene.
Harry and Sally run into each other at a bookstore. Newly divorced, Harry seems a bit sadder, but also a bit nicer. He and Sally get to talking, and Sally tells him that she wanted a marriage and a family, and Joe did not. Harry and Sally agree to become friends.
And wasn't that just a great bit of acting when Meg Ryan does that monologue about how she and Joe always wanted the same things? They never wanted to get married.
Yeah, that was really good.
Because they could fly off to Rome in a moment's notice, have sex on the kitchen table, and she just broke down crying one day, realizing she wanted a family, and they didn't want the same things. It was really beautiful.
What's Meg Ryan up to? She should be
not
acting.
Much.
Not much. That's too bad.
I'm sure she's doing fine. No. You want to just keep reading?
Sure. They live the ultimate friendship for a while. They can say anything to each other. They watch TV together over the phone. They chat about their dating lives, how hard it is to go over their long-term relationships. Then, of course, the orgasm scene.
I think it's cute when they're just talking about how hard it is to get over it, but Sally's just like, I mean, I'm fine. I'm doing things. And he's just so sad.
So broken up, so emotional. It's a very cute film.
Yeah, there's a part where he's like, I was reminded of Helen when I was talking, when my date mentioned Michigan. Like, oh, did she go to college in Michigan? No, but she went to a Big Ten state school. It's very cute.
Cut to Sally and her friend Marie, Carrie Fisher, who are going to meet Harry and his friend Jess. Sally wants to fix up Harry with Marie, who is currently dating a married man. Marie ends up quoting an article by Jess, and they hit it off like gangbusters.
Right, and that's a fun through line where Marie's dating a married man, and she's like, he's never going to leave her. And they're all her friends are like, no, stop being dumb. And I'm like, that's way more realistic as a girl friendship. Like, you're making bad decisions. I know. I'm going to keep doing it anyway. And then it
more realistic than typical movie.
Yeah, than a typical movie, where it would be a little more dramatic than that, or like every conversation would lead to something. Like, that's just kind of, it seems more real to me.
This movie is very grounded.
Yes.
Very realistic.
I also like that's what really gets Jess. Like, you're quoting me to me. I'm just so glad that I wrote something that made an impact.
love it. Next, we're at Sharper Image, where Harry and Sally are shopping for a housewarming present for Jess and Marie. They are singing Surrey with a Fringe on Top.
It's from the musical Oklahoma.
Oh, I've been in that musical.
You don't know that song?
Yeah. When Harry's ex, Helen, runs into them with her new beau, Ira.
Chicks and ducks and geese better scurry. No?
I just want a Surrey. What is that?
Isn't it a horse-drawn wagon?
Sure. That leads him to freaking out at Jess and Marie's new place about the perils of relationship.
Which is one of the best scenes ever, where they're Marie and Jess are arguing about the coffee table, right? And and then he just explodes. He's like,
put your name in your books right now before they get mixed up and you don't know whose is whose. Because someday, believe it or not, you'll go 15 rounds over who's going to get this coffee table. This stupid wagon wheel Roy Rogers garage sale coffee table.
I thought you liked it.
I was being nice.
We definitely see hints of Mike from Monsters, Inc. in there.
I was thinking the same thing. I didn't want to say it.
We had to do it. Sally calls Harry crying. Joe is getting married. But why didn't he want to marry her? Yes. That leads to them sleeping together the morning after Harry bails, a little freaked at Sally, and Sally's clearly hurt. The two don't talk for weeks, finally reuniting at their friend's wedding, where they get into a knockdown, drag out, Sally slaps Harry fight.
Why was she so mad? I guess because she loved him and he didn't seem to like her. Is that it? Or he just wasn't taking it seriously enough?
It's not clear to me.
But maybe that's just how relationships are, man. They're messy.
They're messy. True.
Harry calls Sally, a dozen times. He wants to apologize, but she just won't pick up the stinking phone. When she finally does, he invites her to be his date on New Year's, but she says, no dice. I'm not your consolation prize, Harry.
Cut to New Year's Eve. Harry's alone and pretending he's not miserable. Sally's out with her friends and not even bothering to pretend she's not miserable. As he meanders through the empty streets of New York, Harry realizes something. He is in love with Sally.
And he rushes to the party just as the clock strikes midnight. The two reunite. Harry gives her the skinny. He loves her. He wants to be with her. And that's that. Sally returns his affection. The two kiss.
Oh, that's very nice.
Can you do the speech? Do you remember it?
Can I recite the speech right now? No, not one second of it. So he says something about crinkling her forehead.
Yeah. I love that you get cold when it's 71 degrees out. I love that it takes you an hour and a half to order a sandwich.
I love that you get a little crinkle above your nose when you're looking at me like I'm nuts. I love that after I spend a day with you, I can still smell your perfume on my clothes. And I love that you are the last person I want to talk to before I go to sleep at night.
So it's just very nice.
It's so nice. It's he just likes sweet. Her.
It's good.
Yeah. Should we call John?
Yeah, before we do, I feel like I should just say why I just don't care about the movie's main theme, because I feel like maybe I didn't express that. About, can men and women be friends? And I feel like I don't like that theme that much because it sounds like a really important question when it's phrased in that way, where I feel like the real question that they're asking is like, can a man and a woman who are the same age and have sexual chemistry together be like crazy close best friends, even though there's sexual tension?
Probably not.
And the answer is like, well, no, because they probably won't have sex. It's like not that interesting. But like, yeah, in other cases, men and women can be friends and it's just fine.
Yeah.
That's why it's like, oh, blowing my mind.
Well, it's so weird because like in the movie, they all have friends of the opposite sex. Like, you know.
Right.
They're couple friends, like they're friends with Jess and Marie, both of them. I mean, they're, it's whatever, right? So yes, you're right. But I don't like that about the movie. It doesn't draw me in, this like, oh, can men and women be friends? I don't know.
But that's a pretty big part of it.
I guess. I just always ignored it. But
true.
That's a very concise takedown of that premise.
But you still love the dialogue and you still love the relationship.
I love it.
I like those things too. I think it's just something about me personally that just dialogue doesn't draw me in just
because
it's my own thing.
You're like, Aaron Sorkin, get out of here.
Pretty much.
Don't like it.
Pretty much. I mean, he's a little hot-headed.
What if they walk really fast down a hallway and spew good dialogue?
Now we're talking. See, because now things are happening. Now let's go to our... Do you have anything more to say?
Nah.
Let's now go to our final segment, which we call Bro Call, where we call our brother John.
Call John Flaherty.
And he's going to have opinions about this film, which you better see, because we delayed this week.
Hey, John! John, do you think it's crazy that Mikey was in the musical Oklahoma and doesn't know Surrey with a Fringe on Top?
No, because I totally forget that song, too.
But you weren't in the musical.
Yeah, but if you're not in that number...
Thank you, John. In my defense.
Anyway, we're talking about When Harry Met Sally. Have you seen it? What do you think?
Yeah, I saw it a couple weeks ago. I originally, about halfway through the movie, I kept thinking to myself, why is this movie named When Harry Met Sally? Shouldn't it be renamed When Harry Annoyed the Fuck Out of Sally?
That was Michael's biggest complaint, was the title of this film.
Oh, what did he want to call it?
Anything, but it's just nothing about When Harry Met Sally. That time is insignificant.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I really, really just like their relationship for the third verse of the movie. I'm like, why is this happening to me? Who did I wrong? Oh, God. Then the second, let's say, third of the movie... I kept saying to myself, okay, so they're going to fall in love in the end, and I'm going to be kind of annoyed because I kind of like this movie if they stayed friends, and that would be an interesting take. And then the last third, I'm like, okay, I get it. It's your garden variety love story, and I don't totally hate it. Didn't love it, didn't hate it.
Okay.
Felt like it's, quote-unquote, you shouldn't go in there, but whatever. He's fine. yeah, it felt like a... quote-unquote, adult take on a love story, which, okay, sure.
Sort of a less romantic comedy.
Yeah, which, you know, isn't my jam. I could see, like, I don't understand why it's supposed to be on the quote-unquote new AFI, but...
Whoa.
What?
Well, John, that's interesting you say that, because I would really like to talk to your wife, who nominated this film.
Oh, she did?
Yes, she did.
Oh, that's funny. She did not mention that while we were watching it. She has lots of opinions to say. Let me go walk up to her. So,
hi.
Hello.
Michelle, why is this one of the 100 best movies of all time? Go.
Well, I think that I speak for literally everyone when I say that rom-coms and other quote-unquote girly movies are severely underrepresented on the massive... white boys club that is the AFI list.
Thank you, Michelle.
Yes. Also, yeah. I mean, not only that, but they have a list for romantic comedies, and number one is Annie Hall, which should tell you a lot about their opinions.
Exactly. It's overeducated, elitist, like faux intellectual snobs.
Right.
So, I nominated When Harry Met Sally for multiple reasons. Nora Ephron is an American treasure. I think When Harry Met Sally is kind of an archetype of a lot of rom-coms that tried to follow after it, especially of like late 80s, early 90s movies. There are a lot of concepts or quotes or things we still reference about the movie today, like high maintenance, low maintenance. You'll notice they only talk about high maintenance, low maintenance in terms of women, which is terrible and awful. But
well,
whatever.
Yeah, because Billy Crystal is so high maintenance. Are you kidding me?
Oh my God, I could not deal with him.
I hate how misogynistic it is, but I have used that line. You're the worst kind. We're your high maintenance, but you think you're low maintenance, because I feel like that's described me a lot. But yes. Still misogynistic.
Exactly. And high maintenance is a bad thing, apparently.
Well, I do find her ordering very obnoxious, but other than that.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. But, like, I'll have what she's having all the time. All the time. Here's the terrible bit. I nominated this movie without actually seeing it. So I saw it the very first time.
Really?
Wait, what?
What I thought I saw was Sleepless in Seattle. Turns out When Harry Met Sally was way better.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
I also like Sleepless in Seattle very much, but it's a lot, it's a bit hokier, Sleepless in Seattle.
It is. This was less hokey.
And actually, When Harry Met Sally is much more grounded, Sleepless in Seattle is much more high-minded, like, about the one and, like, romantic connection.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I got verklempt at the end. I think it's interesting that, I don't know, Meg Ryan isn't, like, an ideal. Like, she's still a real person.
Very flawed.
She's pretty hot.
Very flawed, which is good.
Good hair.
Ugh, great hair. I got really jealous about her hair at certain points in her life.
So what grade do you give it?
I give it an A. It misses out of the A+ range because of its misogyny.
Sure. What grade does John give it?
John, what do you grade When Harry Met Sally? He says A. He wants the phone back. John has further thoughts. My grade is an A. It is the best ever. And thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle.
Bye.
All right. So I remember some things while I was walking away. First and foremost, the 80s sucked. Oh, man.
Why? Why do you say that?
I mean, power walking.
I love that scene. Those little nerds in their tight shorts. That's my favorite part. It's not my favorite.
My God, I was horrified.
loved it so much.
And to flip it to the other side, I think they aged both the characters rather well. That I was very impressed with.
Yeah, Billy Crystal did not look 22, but I also believe that's exactly how he looked at 22.
I actually kind of did. I believed it.
All right.
I always remember Billy Crystal as being like a comedic actor. Was he not a comedic actor?
He's very much. He started on Saturday Night Live, I think.
I think so.
Did he?
Yeah.
All right. I guess I only think of him from Princess Bride and from hosting the Oscars. I literally couldn't put him into a different movie outside of City Slickers.
Mike from Monsters, Inc., John.
Okay.
Mike Wazowski.
Okay, right. I forgot my third thought. I did have it. Oh, bugger.
I bet it's really brilliant. But what grade do you give it?
Yeah, I'm going to give it a B-.
Wow.
Higher than you thought?
No, lower, actually.
Oh, I mean, it's not my kind of movie.
Yeah, but you didn't really have any complaints about it.
Oh, I do. But,
oh, okay.
You know, it's okay. No, I'm not. You're not making me go higher. I'm going B-.
Okay.
Sticking with that, it's not a bad movie. Not for me. I don't see why it should be anywhere near this new list. But yeah, I'm okay with it.
Okay. John, thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you later. Michael, what grade do you give it?
Well, I was thinking about what Michelle said about how films more geared towards women are not represented very well on the AFI proper. And I was thinking about, like, oh, what are the kind of manly movies that I don't like on the AFI? And it's a lot of them, but I especially thought of Raging Bull.
Yes.
Which is like a manly movie. Oh, they're tough. Oh, sleep.
I think you said it best when you were like, male nonsense.
I think that was your quote. But
it was brilliant.
It's like, this movie is like million times better than Raging Bull. Yes, like a lot. So I'm prepared to give it an A.
I will also give it an A.
You're not an A pluser?
I kind of agree with Michelle that there are some, you know, misogyny points. But I just think she made some really good points. I thought she was going to bring up how romantic comedies tend to be just put in a lesser category, even less so than other genre films like horror or action. I think romantic comedies are the most derided of genres when it comes to critical reception.
What about straight comedies?
Yeah, I even think with comedies, they get a little... comedies, you're right, are not as respected. But I think romantic comedies are the bottom of the barrel with critical reception.
Sure.
Or, well, actually, teen romances probably, but we're going to watch Twilight later, so we'll get into it.
Yes, absolutely. thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's Flaherty on Films.
If you have some films that you would like us to review, just go to our Facebook page. And yeah,
what's the URL for that?
I don't know.
facebook.com/Flaherty's on
just
films.
Look Flaherty's on Films Facebook. You guys are smart.
Yeah, nobody types in a URL no anymore, I guess.
Who are we sponsored by this week, Michael?
We're sponsored by New Glarus Beer, and they make
Spotted Cow, Two Women, Moon Man, some great stuff. Can't buy it anywhere but Wisconsin. So
you have to come here and then buy them.
Right. If you don't have a Facebook, come here, get some Spotted Cow, and tell us in person.
Yes, absolutely. We'll hang out.
Rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
And anything else?
Nope.
And cut.